I'm Shalina Tobin, aka Poshnosh Girl, and today I'm joined by the amazing Stanley Tucci. Stanley is one of the most prolific and successful actors of his generation and is instantly recognizable on the big screen. He has a host of acting awards, including Emmys, Golden Globes, and even an Oscar nomination for his role in the film The Lovely Bones. Stanley also has a not-so-secret passion for Italian food, about which he's written several cookbooks and is soon to launch a food documentary where he travels across Italy discovering the origins of Italian cuisine. Welcome, Stanley. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. So we all know you as Stanley Tucci, the actor. I've counted over 90 films so far, and everyone has seen The Hunger Games, The Devil Wears Prada, but not many people know you as a chef. So where did your love of food begin?
Well, it came from my family. My family's Italian on both sides, and everything happened around the table, and everything about the table was happening all the time. No matter what time of day it was, somebody was always preparing something, eating something, trying something, shopping for something. So it just became a really, really important part of my life. And after university, I worked in restaurants. And during university, I worked in restaurants a bit. And I was fascinated by restaurants themselves. And one thing led to another. And eventually, when I could afford to start eating in restaurants, instead of working in them in between acting jobs, I was able to really start to experience, food that I had never tasted before. And then it started to become an obsession with me. Oh. And it still is.
And you wrote, directed, produced, and featured in the film Big Night, where your character and his brother open and run a restaurant.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't want to give too much away for people that haven't seen it, but I just watched the film recently. And there's an unanswered question for me at the end of the film, which is, did they both stay in America or did they both go back to Rome?
You know, we never knew. We talk about it all the time. I think one goes back and one stays for a little bit. And then eventually he goes back.
I love that the brothers' names were Primo and Secondo. First and second. So yes. Do you have a big brother? Are you a second in real life?
No, I don't. I don't have a big brother. If I have a brother, it's Tony Shalhoub, the other actor in the film. No, I don't have a big brother. I just like that relationship. I always thought that was an interesting relationship. You know, in essence, there are two sides of the same coin in a way. Mm. The film, I suppose, in a lot of ways, is about the struggle between commerce and art. And one is the more sort of artistic and the other is the more sort of commercially, disposed.
Yeah, well, I love the relationship between the both of you, and the portrayal of that it's really, really beautiful.
No, thank you. It was really fun to make. I mean, it was the first movie I co-wrote it with my cousin, co-directed it with a friend of mine. It was the first time any of us had ever done anything like that. You know, we had been in movies, but not ever, been at the helm. And it was great. It changed all of our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the film did so well. It was it had some awards.
Yeah, we were. It was a very different period in filmmaking. It's over 25 years. It's like 25 years ago now or something. And it was very different. It was the best reviewed film of that year, and yet it was nominated for critics awards and things like that. But it never received any major nominations, which nowadays I think that wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Well, the Tucci residence must literally be the same. It must be like a restaurant right now for you. Are you cooking every day and trialing out new recipes?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not so sure I ever want to cook again. I don't know if Michael told you, but so I have five children, right? I have three children with my late wife. and they're in their 20s, 20-year-old twins and an 18-year-old. And then they have a friend here from university who couldn't get home to her parents. Then we have the 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, Felicity and I. So I'm cooking combined for 8 people every day.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
Felicity is too. And it is, and thank God we love to cook, because otherwise we'd all be starving to death. I mean, it is quite a task to kind of figure out, okay, well, yesterday we had this, should we have this? Because you want to make sure everybody's eating properly and eating well, and, you know, the diet is varied, and, you know, you're not just living on bangers and mash or whatever.
Yeah.
Or pasta, you know. So we were shaking things up quite a bit. But it actually is kind of, it's been kind of great in a way at the same time.
So, I mean, would you say, I mean, you've obviously got to plan it because you've got so many people and there's breakfast, lunch and dinner. Or would you say you're very spontaneous with it?
No, we will plan the dinners. The lunches with the little kids that's easy. Right. And breakfast and lunch, the big kids do on their own.
Okay.
I don't deal with it because Felicity's working, you know, remotely from our bedroom. I have stuff to do here. I come into my office and they deal with their own thing. A lot of times they don't wake up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon anyway. So I'm hardly going to prepare lunch for that kind of thing.
Right.
So, and plus they're doing schoolwork and whatever. So, but then dinner, we all come together and have dinner together. And that is planned.
Okay. And is there a dish that you keep working on that it never comes out the way you want it to?
Risotto.
The risotto never comes out the way you want it to?
Well, I can't say never. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And I can't figure out why. it is a very elusive dish, risotto.
Yeah. And yeah. Is that one from one of your recipe books?
Yeah. Yeah, we have one in the, we have my, I think in the book that my parents did that I helped put together, my mom's risotto and a friend of mine risotto there. He's a Northern Italian chef. And then in the cookbook Felicity and I did, we have a risotto in there as well.
Right.
But and of course, risotto, you know, like pasta, you can make it with, you can put anything in it.
If yeah, absolutely.
You know, but it's really just about, it's much more labor intensive and it's just more delicate than making pasta.
Yeah. And do you make your pasta from scratch?
Sometimes, yes. Wow. We make gnocchi from scratch, which actually is much easier than one would think.
Yeah.
Boil a bunch of really big, nice potatoes, throw in some flour, a little salt and whatever, roll it out. That's it. Chop it up, throw it in the thing, it cooks in 2. I mean, it's incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes Felicity will make pasta. She's much better at it than I am. But also pizza dough we make.
Well, you make it sound quite easy. I mean, Mike actually made me pasta the other day. He made a lasagna. And
did he make the pasta?
He made the pasta sheet.
The sheet? He made the whole thing from scratch?
He made the whole thing from scratch. Yeah. And he was at it for ages, but it came out amazing. They were delicious.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's quite handy in the kitchen. He's better than me.
He's smart, he's good looking, and he can cook. That's all right.
I know, I've got it all. So have you been homeschooling at all?
Yes. He is 5, so it's pretty straightforward and pretty simple. I'm glad that we don't have like a 14-year-old or something, because I wouldn't be able to help him at all. But he and I know that we have friends who, you know, are struggling with that. You know, keeping kids, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, keeping them focused. It's a huge amount of work.
Yeah.
For them and for the teachers too, and it's really hard. With a 5-year-old, he's fine and he's great and he's starting to read and he's doing great. Thank God.
Oh, brilliant. So are you getting time?
Are you doing it too?
No. So we have our 20-year-old. She's at university and she's studying for her uni exam. So she's really good. She gets on with that herself.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
So you're working on a book to support the NHS at the moment. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. This was a really a nice thing. It came through my wife, who was a literary agent, Adam Kay, who had written this wonderful book. Went out to a whole bunch of people and said, would you write just a little piece for this book? We'll put it together really fast and we'll get it out there. It's coming out in July, I think. And the money that, all the money will go to the NHS. So I said, of course. And so I just wrote a little something just about my experience with the NHS, you know, since I've been living here, and sort of what it's a little bit what it's like in America, which is very different than it is here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when is it coming out?
I think it comes out in July, beginning of July, something like that. Okay. Yeah, it's a great idea. And, you know, lots of people are doing these things. I've done a few different things. You know, all you can do is do stuff sort of on, you can write something or you can do something online. But it's great because all, the, you know, people are figuring out incredible ways to raise money for the NHS.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've seen Captain Tom. He's doing an incredible job.
That guy.
Yeah, phenomenal.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
First of all, to make it to 100 and then to do that.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely phenomenal.
Pretty impressive. Yeah, I have difficulty just walking to my office
sometimes. Well, you made it today, so I'm
glad. I made it, thank God, yeah.
So yeah. You've got to go back for, well, cocktail day and make your cocktails, right?
I know.
That's incentive to make it back.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
So you've once said that it's important to feed your soul as it is your body. So what did you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that you know, you can get to a certain point in life where you sort of stop learning. Mm-hmm. And like we get to a point where we, you know, have a job and then you're just sort of going about your job, and then you come home and you do the thing with the kids, and the kids play sports on the weekends, and blah, 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 blah. And then before you know it, it's all over. And I think what's really important is that during the, when you have a family, when you have a routine, it's really, really important to keep feeding things into that routine that are separate from that routine, mm-hmm. that aren't just entertainment. Or diversion, mm-hmm. that are culturally significant. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the thing, in whatever form that takes, whether it's music or art or literature, whatever, I think that's incredibly important.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky enough to be in the arts, so it's all around me. It is what I do. But I think that we lose sight of that a bit. And I think that's super, super important. I think it's super important for kids too, as you're raising kids, to encourage them to go to the theater, to not just watch movies for entertainment, but to watch movies that are of substance, mm-hmm. to surround them with art, mm-hmm. and give them cultural experiences. Mm-hmm. And food is part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. With reference to food, I mean, how much attention do you pay to healthy eating?
A lot. A lot. We eat everything. We're omnivores. Mm-hmm. So, but you eat everything in moderation. And we have basically the Mediterranean diet.
Right.
As I said, I grew up Italian, and, you know, my grandparents, my parents, you ate everything, mm-hmm. but everyone was very healthy, and my grandparents lived to ripe old ages. I'm a big believer in that. My one daughter is now experimenting with being a vegetarian, and it's going well sometimes.
Right.
But sometimes when people smell bacon, they go, oh God, I can't. I have to have the bacon, you know. But bacon is the one thing. But I'm a big believer in everything in moderation and mixing it up. Eating a bit of meat, eating a bit of fish, eating a bit of, you know, you know, always having grains, always having that Mediterranean diet, I think is a really, really perfect diet.
Yeah, well, it covers all bases. And yeah. So speaking of Mediterranean diet, I mean, is there a London restaurant that hits the spot for you?
Yeah, there's a few of them. I love Bocca di Lupo, okay, which is in Soho. Giorgio Locatelli's restaurant, wonderful restaurant. Francesco Mazzei's restaurant, Sartoria.
He's a great friend of yours.
He's great, that guy. I haven't seen him for a long time, actually, but we had our wedding reception at his former restaurant, called Lani, and it was incredible.
Yeah, he told me about it. I did an interview with him a few days ago, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was great.
I mean, there are just so many people. And then there's Riva, which is near where I live, which has been around for 30-some years. And it's just one of our favorite restaurants. And oddly enough, it's a restaurant that chefs, many, many chefs will go to.
Right.
Because it's because the guy, he's so good, Mr. Riva, who runs it.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, which one would you say in particular would you visit when we all open up? Which is the first place that you'll go to? Or is there
another? I'll go to Riva first.
You go to Riva first.
Yeah, I have to, because it's, well, also close by, but also he's a dear friend of ours.
So how would you compare the restaurant scene in New York to London?
Well, it's interesting. I haven't spent time in New York for quite a while. And New York has some incredible restaurants. But I feel, I do feel like London, I feel like there's more diversity here.
Right.
And I feel that you're going to get, people will say London's very expensive, and it is. However, I do think that what you end up getting here is a bit more for your money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you have a greater number of really good restaurants in London. You have more good restaurants in London than you do in New York. Right.
So, I mean, you actually, did you own a restaurant in New York?
No, I had a part ownership in a restaurant that was in Westchester, New York, which is where I lived, where I grew up and where I lived for a long time. But I had very little to do with the restaurant.
Okay.
I sort of started it, and then I was not around at all, and the whole thing.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, because this is big night where you inspired from that movie to open your own restaurant.
I would love to. I always say to Felicity, I want to have a restaurant. And she looks at me like I'm insane. And she's
well,
right.
Well, at the moment, yes.
Yeah, well, this would be bad timing. Yeah, now's not the time. But yeah, I've always wanted to have a little, like a tiny restaurant that would be, you almost wouldn't have a menu.
Wow.
And you would just walk in, and what we're serving that day is what we're serving. And it would be obviously Italian, Mediterranean. Based.
And you would be the head chef.
Really simple.
You would be the head chef.
No, I would definitely not be the chef. No, okay. God, no. No, everybody, we wouldn't eat until midnight. But I would find a chef and sort of curate it in essence. But it would be very simple, very simple kind of rustic cooking. And I really love that. I really, really love that. And if you could cook a lot over open, a lot of open fire, I think that's just great. Yeah.
And you travel quite extensively, and you've got a large family. I mean, how do you manage your time when you're filming on location?
Well, you come back, the hard thing is it's very hard to take your family with you.
Of course.
Because, well, Felicity has a full-time job, so she can't come with me. And so I try to build into the schedule like gaps where I'm away only for 2 weeks at a time, and then I can fly back for you know, a few days or something like that. That's the way you try to do it. Or you concentrate your work within a finite period of time. Right. And then you're home. So you're gone for a few weeks and then you're home, and you're home for good.
Right, right. This must be the longest period of time that you've spent at home.
For quite a while, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And I've been lucky enough too to work, you know, there's so much production being done in London, or there was, yeah. And there will be again, I hope. But so I'm able to sometimes just commute.
Yeah.
To wherever we're shooting, whether we're shooting it at, Pinewood or at Shepparton or Leavesden or, you know, wherever, or on location someplace. A lot of times you can, like I did a movie in the Lake District in October, and October, November, and that was, you know, I'd come home on the weekends, right. Take the train home on the weekends.
Perfect.
But getting to the Lake District was actually harder than getting to, like, Rome. I mean, you know. It was, yeah, quite complicated. Yeah, so that's the way you do it. You know, you have to be, I have to be the one really to go back and forth, because it's too much to take everybody in. Yeah. Unless it were the summer, if you're doing a job in the summer and the, you know, it's in some nice place, then you bring everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of nice places in the summer, I mean, just before lockdown, you were filming a food documentary series, Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy. Yes. Tell us about that.
It was a really interesting experience. It was much harder than I thought it was going to be. I'd never made a documentary before. And it was a kind of, we did four episodes. Each episode took about 8 days or something like that. So I'd be gone for 3 weeks at a time. So we do two episodes back to back.
Right.
But the schedule was quite grueling. You know, you're bouncing around a lot. You're driving from one part of Sicily to the other part of Sicily and meeting somebody and talking and filming, and then you get back in the car and drive to blah 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 and do that. So, but in the end, we've literally just finished it. It's taken that long. We've had to do a lot of the voiceover stuff remotely here, right. From my office.
Right.
Excuse me. We had four different teams working on the four different episodes, brought in other directors to help sort issues out. But ultimately, we're all very happy with it, and CNN's very happy with it. And it's an exploration of the regional cooking of Italy, which is very varied. And one of the things, I've wanted to do this for a very long time, and I wanted to do it because people don't really know how varied Italy itself is, but also that cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Because If you go from the Alps in Alto Adige or Lombardy, you're going to be eating something completely different than you'll be eating in Sicily.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like not even the same culture.
Right.
I mean, you'd be very hard pressed to find a tomato up in, you know, or pasta even. You'll be eating polenta or you'll be eating rice, whereas down in Sicily, you'll be eating pasta, or Rome, you'll be eating pasta every day. The type of meat varies, cheese varies, fish varies, everything. And everything according to geography and politics and socioeconomics and everything completely alters the diet of each region.
So interesting. And do you visit the region of Calabria where your parents are from?
No, we didn't do that. I think we'll do that. If we do more of them, we'll eventually end up going there. we focused on Lazio, which is Rome, and mostly the focus is on Rome.
Okay.
we did Lombardy, and the focus was mostly Milan, and then we went up into the Alps and to Lake Como. And then we did Sicily, and different parts of Sicily, and the island of Lampedusa, which is only 70 miles from the coast of Africa.
Okay.
So, and that's where thousands and thousands and thousands of immigrants are coming into. So that was a part of one of the stories, which to me was a really, really important part, because they come across they make their way through into Libya and then into the ocean and over to Lampedusa. And what those fishermen have seen and experienced, and how Sicily and Lampedusa have integrated the immigrants or not integrated the immigrants at times is fascinating.
And when is it due out? When are we going to be able to see?
We're not sure. I think it probably won't be out until next year. I think they're waiting to see what happens when it's appropriate to air it and all. But hopefully soon. I mean, Italy is opening up now a bit. I hope that lasts because, I can't imagine they've been locked down for so long now and had so many deaths.
Yeah.
But my hope is that will end and there won't be a resurgence of the virus and people can start to get back to normal and maybe we'll be able to go back and film some more.
Yeah. Mm. Well, hopefully, I think we're all hoping for that, I think, in all parts of the world.
Yeah.
So, Stanley, I've got one last question for you.
Yes.
Tell me something about yourself that I couldn't possibly know.
I can't tell you certain things. But I suppose that I that I like to go fishing.
Okay. How often do you get to do that?
Never.
Oh.
Literally never. It's terrible. But it's my goal that when this is over to be able to go on a fishing trip. And it doesn't have to be anything like deep sea fishing. I don't care about that. I want to go to a nice place with a river, a brook, whatever, and in somewhere in England, and just go fishing for a few days. Oh. And I don't even care if I catch anything. there's something about it that is so. I used to do it when I was a kid with my dad, and there's something about it in the reservoirs near where we lived, and there's something about it that is so incredibly. Relaxing to me.
Well, that sounds absolutely magical.
It's a little boring, but it's magical.
I think it sounds peaceful. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for giving us your time, Stanley.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're doing this. It's great you're doing it.
Thank you so much. Guys, if you want to follow Stanley, he's on Instagram at Stanley Tucci, and I'm at Posh Nosh Girl. Thanks, Stanley.